This is a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com, the authority when it comes to KU Jayhawk news. If you want the inside scoop, you are in the right place. Jayhawk Slant is your unofficial but very official source, no matter if it's on or off the record. Basketball editor Shea Wildebohr delivers all of your news on the hardwood. JayhawkSlant.com publisher John Kirby brings you the inside info on football. And Randy Withers is the jack of all trades. Now, here is the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
This is Randy Withers from Jayhawk Slant. We are here with publisher John Kirby and our man from the hardwood, Shea Wildebohr. And we're going to start right there. The Jayhawks swept the Sunflower Showdown and hold a one-game lead in the Big 12 standings over Baylor. We're going to talk basketball recruiting with Shea. And it's been a wild start to the 2018 football recruiting season as the Jayhawks have been the talk of the nation, pulling in 7 early commitments so far. And we've got a special guest as Kansas head football coach David Beatty is going to join us later to give some of his general thoughts on recruiting so far. First, let's welcome in our usual guest, Shea. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Excited about everything that we've got going on. Excited about the big win over K-State. Kirby, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Randy. I see Shea survived the sandstorm on Monday night.
I did, man. I don't know how. You go up there, man. It's wild. It's crazy. It's packed with enthusiasm, energy, and you might want to bring your earmuffs because you're certainly going to hear some words you might not be used to.
I thought it was pretty interesting where I heard Self say after the in the press conference in the post game, he told his guys to use some of the crowd energy, you know, to their own advantage. I've never really heard it from that angle, but it makes sense.
Yeah, they're man, they are on top of you, and they do not hold back. They're just it's just. I always said that aside from Allen Fieldhouse, I think when KU plays in Manhattan, it's about as wild as an atmosphere as you're going to see in the Big 12. I mean, it's just it's kind of just different up there when KU comes to town. It's crazy, and you almost just have to see it. I don't know if you can really describe it. You got to be there. But I made it. I'm back.
Well, Shea, that's awesome. Let's stay on the topic of Monday night in Manhattan. You were there. You were courtside. You talked about the atmosphere. What was it? You know, give us a little more, just a taste of what it was like up there, as well as, you know, just how big of a win was this for Coach Self and the squad?
Well, first of all, I think it's a huge win. You know, you lose at home to Iowa State, give up 18 threes, you have them down 14, you don't close, and then you get back on the road in Manhattan. And listen, when you walk into that arena as a player, especially a KU player, I mean, you know what's coming. I mean, those fans are on top of you. The minute you step on the court, it's nothing but boos and chants and signs and posters, and it's just it's intimidating, man. I mean, it's one of the few venues that I really look forward to going to, just because I know that K-State's going to bring it, and they brought it, man. I mean, from the time the tip was up in the air until the last few seconds, I mean, they were in it, and you know, they had the sandstorm and the chants, and it's just different. It's an atmosphere that you don't see in the Big 12, really. I mean, they hate Kansas, and I think Kansas hates them, and you know, they wanted blood. They wanted to bludgeon Kansas, and it's to come away with a win like that in that type of environment after being down 12 points and then again down by one, you know, late in the game to respond the way they did. I think, you know, I don't want to call it the biggest win of the year, but when you look back at the season, you know, a month from now or however long, you know, you could definitely say that that was one of the biggest wins of the year for this team, no doubt.
You know, we've got several Big 12 games this evening, and then we move ahead to Saturday's game for the Jayhawks in Lubbock against Texas Tech. Then they turn back around and have Big Monday against West Virginia and the Mountaineers. How do you see those games, and just how big are they in the grand scheme of things in this Big 12 race?
If you're going to win number 13, you got to take one at a time, and obviously, you know, Texas Tech coming off a loss at TCU. You know, this is a team that's kind of really been up and down. You look at them, and they, you know, they beat West Virginia. You know, they beat a K-State team that won at Baylor. You know, they beat LSU in the SEC Big 12 Challenge, and then you know you turn around and they lose some games that they probably shouldn't have lost. Most recently, you know, last night. So you know, the thing that this team needed, this Kansas team needed more than anything else, was a break. I mean, mentally, physically, with everything going on off the court, with the schedule, you know, Friday or Sunday or Saturday, Monday, and then the turnaround again. It's such a quick turnaround. I think they'll show up to Lubbock. I think they'll be ready to play. And I'd be shocked if they don't go 2-0 in this next stretch. I mean, it's really kind of do or die time. If you're going to win number 13, these are the games you have to win. They've already dropped one at home, which rarely happens. I mean, you know, Texas Tech is a team that's improved, but certainly not at the level Kansas is. And to me, the biggest thing is going down there with a focus and a mentality and an attitude of just, hey, we came here to take care of business, do the things that you need to do. And if they do that, I think they'll come home for a big Monday game and have a chance really again to make another statement against a potentially, you know, a top 10 team at home.
Shea, you talk about some of these matchups, and you know it's obvious, and everybody knows you've got to just grind through some of these games. It seems like the entire Big 12 is just an absolute just a meat grinder itself this season. Is this the most competitive you've ever seen the conference from top to bottom?
From top to bottom, absolutely. I mean, it's a grind. It's tiring, man. I can't imagine what it's like for those guys. I mean, it's just being on hand for everything myself, I mean, it's just tiring. So going through the practices, handling the academic side of it, you know, fulfilling all your obligations, you know, practice, treatment, tutors, all those things. I mean, and then you got on the court stuff. It's a grind. I mean, you look at from top to bottom in this league, I think everybody is performing well. And I'd have to look, but except for Oklahoma. I mean, you know, you go to Kansas State, you squeak out a win. You know, you go to Ames and you close late. You go to TCU, you close late. I mean, in years past, you could look at the schedule and say, hey, you got to feel pretty good about, you know, your chances on this night or this night or this night. And now it's like, dude, I mean, you got to come ready to play every night. Every free throw counts, every rebound counts, every, you know, loose ball. If you don't come to play in this league on any given night, you're going to get knocked off. I mean, look at Iowa State's a prime example. Up 14. Come out the second half, you don't close, maybe get a little complacent, get a little tired, you know, with everything going on. And, you know, Iowa State comes out and really just kind of hit Kansas in the mouth. And, you know, Kansas just couldn't respond.
You know, you used the word close several times there, Shea. Bill Self has been known as quite the closer when it comes to recruiting over the years. Let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about Trey Young. All eyes are on the point guard from Oklahoma. He's announcing his decision next week. What's the latest that you're hearing on Trey? And do you have a feeling one way or the other on this one?
Well, the latest is no more visits. I know he wanted to get to Kansas one last time, and the weather prevented that from happening. And then one of his games was canceled, and he had to reschedule it during the Iowa State game. So he couldn't make it. And I know Bill was there last night along with Lon Kruger. You know what? I keep going back and forth. You know, to me, it's going to be Kansas or Oklahoma. It's just a matter of whether he wants to stay close to home, going to be the hometown hero guy, you know, play tons of minutes. And I don't mean this in any disrespect, but do so in an arena that, you know, you might get lucky to get a handful of 1,000 people, or you can come to Kansas, you know, alongside hopefully or possibly Devontae Graham, you know, play a lot of minutes on a team that's going to contend for a national championship, Big 12 championships, you know, night in and night out, you're on TV, you're getting everybody best shot, playing in the best venues, the best facilities. So really, it doesn't seem like it's that hard of a decision, but when you're from Norman, Oklahoma, and you've got everybody there kind of in your backyard expecting you to stay home and kind of be the savior, you know, that's tough to turn down. I mean, you know, I couldn't imagine if I've had those athletic abilities, saying no to all my people and, you know, kind of going to a school a couple hundred miles down the road to experience what it's like to play for one of the blue bloods of college basketball. So it's as tight as it's going to get. You know, I've been talking to a guy in Oklahoma who is insistent that it's going to be Kansas. I'm not that confident. If it's Kansas, I won't be surprised. If it's Oklahoma, I won't be surprised. I think right now it's just too tough to call. I mean, it's neck and neck as decision day approaches on February 16th.
You had an update this morning on another recruit, Mark Smith, a 4-star shooting guard. What can you tell us about him? And do you think he's a guy that is legitimately on the radar for this Kansas staff?
I do. I think a lot of it depends on kind of how the class shakes out. But this is a guy not long ago that was committed to Missouri to play baseball. Had an injury, I believe, to his forearm, and you know, never really played on the AAU circuit. Decided to play this summer. And really, since then, it's kind of, I'm taking off, blown up, what have you. And I just got a text from him a little bit ago. Two new offers today, one from California, one from Utah. You know, I know Coach Jarence Howard's been down there to see him. And I just got the feeling that if they offered him, that it would kind of be hard for him to say no. You know, he spoke glowingly about the program. Comes from a basketball family. Both mom and dad play college basketball. And, you know, I just get the feeling that kind of playing in that limelight and playing in that type of atmosphere and having the opportunity to play for one of the Blue Bloods, I think would be tough for him to turn down. But until he gets that offer, I mean, he's got, you know, he's got two official visits left. He's going to take a bunch of unofficial visits. And then once he kind of figures out who's going to offer, what's on the table, he'll go from there. But yeah, I definitely think it's a legitimate option, especially if, you know, if some things go south for the staff with, you know, with Trey Young and Trevor Duvall.
When the Jayhawks take on West Virginia for the second time this season, they're going to have a 2018 prospect in the house. Jamie Lewis will be there on hand. Tell us a little bit about him and the kind of player you think he could be.
Yeah, everything I've heard leads me to believe that Kansas is in great shape with this kid. 6'2", point guard from Westlake High School in Atlanta, Georgia. And really, to me, the thing I love about him is, and he can get off the bounce and score. I mean, he can get to the bucket. He can take contact. You know, he's got the ability to hang in the air and finish at the rim. And he's just kind of built self-guard. He's tough. He's smart. He's got a good IQ. You know, he doesn't try to do too much. He doesn't try to do what's not his strength. I mean, he's just a guy that would come in and strengthen the backcourt, and a guy that would be kind of a foundation guy in this class, a guy that you could count on. You know, unless something changes, I mean, for multiple years, you know, a guy that's going to be around, a guy that could, you know, kind of like maybe a Frank or a Devontae, kind of be the face of a program when he, you know, reaches that junior, senior year. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a guy, just in talking to him and his dad, that is very intrigued by Kansas, is very interested. And the fact that they're coming out here on a school night from Atlanta, Georgia, on their own dime, I think kind of speaks to how much interest they really do have in the program. And I know his dad, Jamie, loves Kansas, but I think his dad is probably just as excited. And as a father, how could you not be?
Shay, final question for you on the recruiting front. Let's say, just for discussion's sake, Trey Young goes elsewhere. Is Smith the last we will get in this 2017 class, or will Self and the staff look for another possible late high school prospect to keep their eye on, or are they going to turn to a transfer? Where do you see him going to round this one out?
Well, I mean, you still Duvall, who's got some visits to take. You know, I think when he visited, the staff made a huge impression on him. You know, but he's still got Duke, Arizona, visits coming up. So it's really tough to say where things stand with him. Yeah, I mean, you know, Mark Smith, unless they can pull a rabbit out of their hat, unless they can land a graduate transfer or somebody at the JUCO ranks that I'm not aware of, I mean, they're slowly running out of options. There's an MJ Walker, you know, a five-star shooting guard that has been linked to Kansas, but, you know, he doesn't talk much, and it seems like things there have kind of cooled. Obviously, no visit set up yet. There hasn't been a lot of communication from what I understand. So, yeah, I mean, they're running out of options. I mean, you got the two elite point guards left, and you got Mark Smith, and they could always pull something out of their hat, but it's, if there's something out there right now, I don't know who it is or where he's at.
All right, that's Shay Wildebohr. Shay, thanks for coming on and joining us. We look forward to a little more team news and more recruiting coming out in the next week.
All right, thank you guys. Have a good night, bud.
It has been a wild week since National Signing Day for college football, probably one that has surprised many, many people that have followed this Kansas program over the years. Let's bring in our man John Kirby to talk about it. Kirby, with everything that's happened, I think the best place to start, let's just do a quick rewind of this weekend, the first junior day of the year for the Kansas Jayhawks and David Beatty's program. Let's talk about how everything went down and how you will remember one of the biggest two-day spans in Kansas football recruiting history that we have ever seen.
Well, Randy, it probably is the biggest, if not the biggest day, especially the biggest 3 days there, you know, capped off with Nelson Jenkins. You know, I look back at this thing, and I can't tell you how many phone calls and emails and texts and direct messages on the message board I've had of people saying, is this really real? You know, did this really go down? Is, you know, I've had some people go, was this a setup? And, you know, hey, listen, when you get into this type of thing, when you're going into New Orleans and taking some of the top players, it's funny. You get people going, well, what are they doing up there? Are they giving out bags of money or something? You know? So you're like, no, do you know what it is? It's relationships and it's trust and it's recruiting. So yeah, it was a wild day. You know, it started off with Anthony Williams. I think he committed right before the Iowa State basketball game, and I had a chance to talk to him after that. You know, he's a running back. He can do a lot of different things. He's a sub 4.3 guy. I mean, he's been on some laser times at 4.28 and 4.29. So, you know, they're not made up. Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, these aren't made up now. I mean, this isn't the old coach sitting over there with a stopwatch on the lawn chair going, go. All right. Gotcha. You know, I mean, this is legit timing. So he's at a Hahnville. So, you know, you're thinking, all right, hey, pretty good day here. Well, then I get word and get a chance to talk to Clayton Toon, quarterback out of Hebron. That this guy's been, you know, he's been a big target for Kansas. I mean, they offered him last football season. He's one of the very few quarterbacks they've offered for the 2018 season. He's somebody that, you know, Kenny Perry knew, and then Garrett Riley got involved. They offered him. So obviously, since Doug Meacham's come on staff, he's had to watch his film, and he signed off on him. He must have liked what he's seen, because if he didn't, you know, and he didn't think he'd fit into what they would have done, they wouldn't have brought him up for junior day or gone after him. So, you know, this is a kid. Toon is one of the guys that hasn't been mentioned a lot because of all the Louisiana talk. But, you know, this guy's a recruit that they really wanted, which I think speaks volumes. And the last word I got is he's going to come in right now at probably a 5.63 star, which is, you know, that's a good solid rating for a quarterback. So then you have a lull, right? So you're sitting there going, hey, you know what? That's a really good junior day, two guys. And then all of a sudden it the barn door blows off. It gets nuts, because then Devontae Jason and Corione Harris both commit out of Landry Walker, which is, you know, Mike Lee's old school. And now,
yes.
Now you're talking, this is a whole different level here, because these guys are the, you know, the eighth rated corner and the sixth rated receiver in America. I mean, these aren't, I mean, and I'm not making light of any other recruit or anything like that, but from where the rankings are, from a perspective and look at their offer list, I mean, these guys are legit. So you get those and you're just, now you're blown away. Now you've got four on the day and you're thinking, okay, you know, this thing's, it can't get any better than that. What a day. You know, hey, it was just amazing they got these kids up to visit. And then, boom, 11 o'clock, I know I'm just rolling into bed. Bing, my text goes off. I look up. Okay? Jamar Chase jumps in. So here's Jamar Chase. This guy's a four-star wide receiver. And you're thinking, this really isn't real. And then when you're thinking there's no way there can be more than that, his teammate from Archbishop Rummel, Corione Harris, jumps in. I mean, these are guys that are they're national recruits. I mean, they've got multiple Power Five offers. So, you know, that was just, it was a surreal day. It was just, it was crazy to follow and just to see the reaction from that Saturday, even until we're doing this, recording this podcast here. It's been the play they've gotten from these guys. And then on Monday, okay, the thing continues. Nelson Jenkins, a 6'4", 290-pound defensive tackle out of Louisiana, he commits. And, I mean, this kid's film is really good. And, you know, Tony Hull knew about him. He lives out in the country, okay? He takes like a 45-minute to an hour bus ride to school every day. This is one of those kids who's off the radar right now, but he's got some offers. He's going to get a lot more once people see his body. But this is one of those connection things that Tony Hull knew about. So, you know, just recapping the day and then going through Monday, and Nelson Jenkins commits. He didn't even take a visit. You know, he's got, this kid could commit to a lot of places, and he just said he felt Kansas was the right place for him, and he hadn't even gone on a visit. So that was pretty wild just to go back and look at the day and see how all this thing's gone down.
That's
it's still just almost, like you say, it just kind of boggles your mind. Those of us that have followed Kansas recruiting, you've just never seen or even heard of anything like this. And I'm sure that's the questions that you've gotten. I mean, there were a couple times where I was getting the alerts and thought to myself, you know, maybe I should text Kirby. Is this right? Can this be right? But it is an absolutely unprecedented haul, and they just keep right on rolling. Talking about that unprecedented haul, we've got a special guest on the line. Let's welcome in the man responsible largely for that haul, all those Louisianimals that have committed to the University of Kansas and Clayton to welcome Kansas head football coach David Beatty.
Hey, it's been an exciting week for 2018 recruiting. You know, we went out there and tried to find a good guest to join us, and we found a guy who knows a little bit about KU football recruiting. Coach Beatty, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. How you been, bud?
I've heard this is a time college staffs get some time off to recharge their batteries. Obviously, you haven't been doing that these days. What have you been up to since signing day?
Man, there's no relaxation in recruiting. You know that, Kirb. It's a year-round deal. You got to do it every day. And, you know, from our standpoint, we understand that when we get into this profession. And it's really, actually, it's the funnest part. So you really never feel like you're working. You're always creating relationships with guys. And, man, when you get to do that for a living, I mean, how blessed are you?
You know, I know if people are listening to this podcast right now, they obviously are aware of what's been going on. And due to NCAA rules, I know you can't talk specifics about this. But I wanted to ask you this. When we interview the recruits, there's two words that seem to come up a lot. And that's number one is genuine, and number two is family. We hear that a lot. And I was just wanting to know if you could talk a little bit more about that. And is that something you guys talk about as a staff, or is that just something that comes naturally?
Well, a lot of times it does come naturally. And the reason it comes naturally is because of the way that we build our staff, the way that we hire. You know, I've said this many times publicly. I really don't care what guys know up and down that hallway. I care who they are. Because once I got them, I got them. And who you are is always going to come rise to the top. And that's why we're very careful about the men and women that work in our building. And if they do not have a kid-first mentality and a selfless attitude, then they just don't fit. And it's nothing personal. We say it all the time. If that's not how you want to do business and it doesn't feel like the place for you, just come talk to us, man. We were friends when we got into it. We need to be friends when we leave. But this is the environment that we want to create, because when we have prospective athletes come in here, we want it to be natural that they see how we act in our everyday environment. There's no put on. When you come here, what you see is what you get. We laugh, we giggle, we poke fun at one another. We enjoy our time here. I have one rule with my staff and our players. When you walk through those glass doors, you control your smile, put a smile on your face, man. It's too hard not to have a little fun. And, you know, we do that. Now, you know, we love them, and we practice tough love when people don't listen. But we love them like they're our own. And I think what we want to do is be a little bit different than others by making the families of these prospective student-athletes understand that we know that they are your family treasure, just like Avery and Alexa are mine. And we're not just going to go drop off Avery and Alexa just anywhere. I'm going to get to know those men and women, because the facilities will wear off and they will fade. But what won't will be the relationships and the men and women that are there at that place. So we put a lot of emphasis on it.
It's well documented that, you know, what the scholarship and the limits were that when you guys took over, and as you build this program up, how important is it for you and your staff to get out and evaluate recruits early, get some offers in their hands, and try to get out in front of the recruiting process and maybe in front of some other schools that you go up against?
Well, you know, I think it really comes down to your philosophy and how you want to do things. We are always most focused on the next class, not the current, you know, not the class we just signed or the one that's going to be after the year. We have to focus on the class that is coming in now. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't start the recruiting process and developing those relationships with class of 19 and class of 20 and class of 21. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we got to focus on the next class and make sure that we're answering the needs that we currently have first. But all the while, it's very important, because recruiting is about long-term relationships. Very few of these scholarships are signed with short-term relationships. I mean, most of the people that we sign, we have been in relationships with for 2+ years. And that's really what it takes in this day and age to really get people to understand who you are. And over a 2-year period, it's kind of hard to hide who you are, good or bad. It comes out. So I think parents are getting smarter knowing that, hey, I got to make this process happen earlier so I can get to know these people and I know exactly what I'm dealing with.
You know, last question I wanted to talk to you about, the upgrades to the facilities. You know, when we talk to the recruits, that's something that comes out as we talked about being genuine and family. I mean, right along with that comes the talk from the recruits, what they're seeing from the facilities. What have you seen that pay dividends? And just being from your end, what have you seen from that?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the credit goes squarely on the vision of our athletic director, Shane Zinger, and Sean Lester, and our Williams Fund people, Matt Beatty, and all of our terrific donors who understand the vision. And these guys have worked tirelessly amid a lot of criticism at times to really make decisions to move forward with things that they cost resources. And I got to applaud them because most people want to wait until something good happens before you do something. And that's not really how it works. It works through early investment. You invest if you want something to return. And I can't tell you how helpful it has been. We went from worst to first in the country. We got people trying to come in our locker room now and they want to see it. We're not going to let them in because, quite honestly, it's our advantage right now. And that is a huge, powerful piece in this because kids are ruling you out and they don't even know it. They don't really even know it sometimes because they don't understand that they're just making mental notes on what people have and what they don't. And right now, we are fortunate to be at a place that where they dress and where they eat and where they live and all of the things that touch that student athlete, you will be hard pressed to find a better place in the country and someone that takes better care of their players than the University of Kansas. And I'm talking about all sports. It is ridiculous, the commitment that's made to the student athlete. And the crazy thing is not everybody uses every resource available per the NCAA. We do. Every single possible resource available goes into those kids. And that's, you know, that's really an easy lead to follow with Dr. Zinger and Sean Lester. If it's for kids and it's legal, we're going to do it. And we love that. And we just abide by that. And, you know, just to kind of circle back, really the secret here is all in your people. It's all in your family because you can't say family and people not feel it and know it and sense it and affiliate with it. And the guys that I have on that staff and the men and women that work in that department, and I'm talking about down to our people that are our nutritionists. I'm talking about the facilities people that make sure this place is top-notch every day. I'm talking about our assistant coaches who are among the finest men in the world. I'm talking about our administrative assistants who are just as big a part of WINS as anyone else. I'm talking about our strength staff. I'm talking about our training staff. I'm talking about the Williams Fund people. I'm talking about the group's family effort here. When you step on campus here, you feel family. And it's because that's really what it means to be a Jayhawk. And that's what we love about this place. It's a really easy but terrific, fun place to work.
Well, Coach, I know some of the guys are probably getting a little time off. It doesn't sound like you had much, so hopefully you get a chance to spend time with your family and have a chance to relax. And I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Man, I appreciate it. I am heading down to Joplin, Missouri to watch two pretty little girls dance this weekend, and I'm fired up about it.
Hey, you know what, Coach? We all know the Beatty girls really run that house, don't we?
Yes, I definitely just run around it. They run it.
All right, Coach. Hey, drive safe. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Kirby. Appreciate you. Rock shot.
There you heard some of the recruiting philosophy straight from the man himself, David Beatty. Great stuff there from the head coach. We've talked a lot about the players the Jayhawks are attracting in this 2018 class from outside the area, and we're just barely a week into it. They've also had a lot of local talent at Junior Day. Kirby, let's talk about some of these guys. What did you think of the area kids that made the trip to Lawrence last Saturday?
Well, you know, Randy, they've kind of been overshadowed a little bit. I know we'll get into this because, you know, you've I handled a lot of the guys out of the area, and you handled a lot of the guys in the area. But because of the other guys committing, we haven't even gotten into what the group locally means, which is, I mean, the group locally was as good of a junior day as you could ask from local players. So, you know, I know we can talk about that. I know Cartez Crook Jones, you know, it sounds like Kansas sits well with him. You talked to him. What'd you think?
I'm telling you, it was one of those things where you're talking to a kid and you're like, are you trying to tell me something? No, I'm not. And I'm just like, boy, you sound like you might be close to making it. No, I'm not. It's like he's trying to play it down. I think we might hear something soon with him, though. Crook Jones is the defensive lineman from Grandview. He's a big athletic kid that I think this coaching staff would love to add him. With all the kids coming from outside the area to get things rolling here locally with a kid like him would be exciting. And you know, you look at some of the other names, some of the other guys that were here. Lee Summit West standout Mario Goodrich, a guy that I talked a lot about last fall on the radio. You know, all he did last four games of the Setons and for the Titans, intercept passes and run them back for touchdowns. I was talking to a head coach, a friend of mine from North Kansas City the other day, and he said, he goes, why did they even throw his direction after the first one? And I thought that was a great point. And to get a kid like that to come to Lawrence, who a big athletic corner that plays, corner and wide receiver, that's a great sign of just the momentum that the staff is starting to create, not just around the region with kids that aren't from around here, but kids right here in town that know about the program.
Well, I saw something today where our Minnesota site in the network just interviewed him, and he said Kansas and Nebraska would be in his top two. So, if they can start making if they start making a dent now in the local kids, which has always been, I've had this question too, is why can kids come from Texas, Louisiana, who are very highly rated, very highly sought after, and pick Kansas after a visit, but yet none of the local guys can, which I know, there's philosophies for that all over the place that, Kansas, because they haven't had a chance to do much winning, because the program's been down, maybe local kids see that more than outside kids. But if Kansas could turn a couple of these local kids along with what they're doing from outside the area, boy, I'll tell you what, look out, it could be a hell of a class.
We're talking about Goodrich and the fact, him telling the Minnesota site that KU and Nebraska would be in his top two. It's interesting because, and I'm curious your thoughts on him specifically. I've had some people tell me that are close to him that he is more of a basketball minded kid, and that may be the direction he's wanting to go. Gosh, maybe we need to ask Shea if he's heard anything about Mario Goodrich.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I've heard he's a tremendous athlete. I haven't heard which way he'd go on there. Hey, speaking of athletes, let's talk about a big athlete, Daniel Carson. There's another guy that, Kansas seems like they're hanging in there with him early on.
I think you're right. I mean, he's just a huge defensive line prospect from William Chrisman over in Independence. A guy that was a big part of their resurgence this past season. I mean, 6'5", 265, 270 pounds. He's a three-star defensive end prospect and maybe one of the best players on that Bears defense. He's a guy that, just like another guy we'll talk about in a few minutes, Miles Emery from Blue Valley North, the Jayhawks rode really kind of a wave of momentum where last fall they offered a bunch of kids locally, 2018 kids before anybody else. And look at some of the offers that Carson has added since the Jayhawks. He's got an offer from Oklahoma. He's got KU. He's got K-State. The kid's got an offer from Mississippi. I mean, that was the one that just got my attention. I remember texting you saying, Kirby, are you seeing this? And I mean, he is absolutely blowing up right now.
Well, you're talking about Carson, and you talk about big athletic guys. Let's go to bigger guys. Christian Boyd, he left Lawrence with an offer, and Blue Springs, former Jayhawk quarterback Kelly Donahoe calling the shots there. I know Kelly doesn't get involved in the recruiting process a whole lot. He lets those kids make their call, but Christian Boyd leaves there with an offer. I know you had a chance to talk to him.
Christian Boyd is a guy that was very excited about Kansas and had some great things to say. I didn't know until he and I had the conversation. He grew up in Topeka. He was born in the Sunflower State. You know, obviously he's moved over to Blue Springs and his family lives there now, and he will graduate from Missouri High School. But he said his entire family, they're all big Jayhawk fans. They're big Kansas fans. And of course he kind of followed that up saying, well, that's not going to impact my decision. Talking with him about his impressions about what he saw on Junior Day on Saturday in Lawrence, it sure sounds like KU is in very good shape, especially given the fact that a defensive tackle of his size, and he is a big, big boy, for them to be his first offer, I think is going to be a big, big plus for the Jayhawks in this one.
Hey, moving over to the Kansas side, Blue Valley North High School. We just mentioned him a little bit ago. Miles Emery, you know, is one of those guys, another one that Kansas offered early. Then Oklahoma kind of cherry-picked in on that. You know, which is another topic, Randy.
Yeah.
Coaches know that places like Kansas State, that it's not a massive amount of talent. So those guys in the area, so people like Kansas and Kansas State, it's known in the recruiting world among coaches that they've got to work extra hard, okay? They've got to get in there. They've got to do their due diligence. They've got to find out what type of kid he is. They got to find out, and I'm just talking about a lot of the local players here, or early offers from a school like Kansas. You've got to work ahead in the recruiting process. So, you know, when Kansas offered Miles Emery, I guarantee you that sent out warning bells to people that said, yes, okay, we got to go look at this kid because Kansas offered him. So that means they've done their homework and they're trying to move out early on a kid. And now we're starting to see other schools come in on Emery.
Well, and Emery, I mean, this is a 6'5 kid that was mainly a basketball player really until a year ago. Explosive, fast, twitchy. I mean, he looks the way those guys should look. And, you know, this is a kid who the University of Texas is showing interest in Miles Emery. And it's been a while since UT decided to get involved with a kid from Kansas City. I think the last time that they offered somebody from KC was probably Braden Smith when he was at Olathe South, the big offensive lineman that starts at guard now for Auburn. Emery is going to go down. He's actually visiting Texas later this spring. And you just don't see that every day for a kid from the EKL, let alone a guy from Blue Valley North. But that tells you the job the coaching staff has done turning that program around. Going back across the state line, a guy that I know I actually wasn't aware he was even in Lawrence until I saw he changed his Twitter avatar the other day. Jalen Ivey, the big physical running back from Blue Springs. He made the trip down with Christian Boyd. And, you know, that's a guy right there. That is a powerful, powerful running back that was when he was healthy last year. And, you know, he missed some time with injuries. He missed some time, obviously, with the suspension that he was involved in game one. He might have been the most dominant offensive player in Kansas City last year when he was right.
Yeah, he was boy, when I watched him when he was healthy, he was tough to bring down. And I thought Blue Springs was a whole different team when they had him going in the lineup as opposed to either when he wasn't in or when he wasn't healthy. I thought he was that much of a difference maker.
Absolutely. Another guy that they had down there that I'm familiar with, cornerback from over at Park Hill, Devin Haney. Devin Haney, you know, and Mario Goodrich obviously is a tremendous player. He is a big play player. Devin Haney might be the most fundamentally sound, you know, best cornerback prospect in Kansas City and one of the best defensive backs in the state of Missouri in what is maybe the best class to ever come out of the Show Me State.
It is loaded. I mean, you talk about, you know, obviously you didn't hear much in the last couple of years about Kansas on the Missouri side of the state line. And that has changed, you know, with all the talent there. You can tell there's some emphasis in there. And, you know, obviously, you know, look at University of Missouri. There's going to be pressure on them to keep some of these kids at home. I mean, that's a big class because you're going to have a lot of focus with national attention, with all the talk about how good the state is this year. So, you know, there's going to be pressure on University of Missouri. And I've always said this, Randy, this area, I don't want to say it gets over-recruited, but when the word gets out that there are players here, I mean, they come from every conference in America to this area. I mean, you've seen it.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I think it's part of the fact that we're right here in the middle. You know, we're on the way to everywhere else, so it's easy for coaches to stop in. But, you know, I think coaches really are starting to realize that players in the Kansas City area, if they come here, they are going to be very well coached. The level of the game on both sides of the state line in the last 5-10 years, it's been phenomenal to watch the growth, the improvement, the fundamentals, the way the game has gotten so much better here. And you know me, I'm always the first one to give credit to the high school coaches, and they've had a big, big hand in that. But the level of talent, especially on the Missouri side, is really, really ratcheted up to a level that we've never seen before. And I think it's going to – KU is going to have the opportunity to get some legitimate guys out of the state of Missouri. And like you said, the pressure is on – is going to be on Mizzou to keep some of those guys. And I think David Beatty and his staff have put themselves in position with some of those early offers to make hay legitimately for the first time on that side of the state line in a while. And we want to take a minute to thank everybody for listening to the Jayhawk Slant podcast with myself, John Kirby, Shea Wildebor. Be sure and look at our 50% off promotion that we've got going right now for new subscribers or those who want to come back and rejoin, re-up with us again just in time for the home stretch of the Big 12 basketball season as we get ready for March Madness. And as we, you know, continue to wait for more Louisiana animals to sign up, now is the time to get involved and sign up for Jayhawk Slant. Until our next podcast, this is Randy Withers signing off.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.